The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review. On today's episode, episode number 275, entitled How to Live in the Present Moment and Remove All Fear, plus exclusive Elite Mind Insight. This is a solo episode. No interview today, guys. I do want to preview, actually, the upcoming audiobook for Elite Mind, which will be released in just a few short weeks. We talked about this a few months back, and there was a massive delay in the audiobook process, and there was a few roadblocks that we didn't anticipate before. So that got delayed by a few months, but the good news is it will be ready in 3 to 4 weeks for sure. The recording has already been done. The editing is nearly finished, and then there's like a two-week processing after it's finished. But the editing itself will be finished in the next couple of days, and then there's like 2 weeks of processing before that. So the Elite Mind audiobook will be available in just a few weeks, probably 3 or 4 weeks it will be available, and I will definitely keep you updated. But with that in mind, I wanted to share one of my favorite chapters, actually, from the book. In today's episode, I wanted to share one of those chapters with you, an exclusive look into the upcoming audiobook, which talks all about the present moment. And in particular, out of all the chapters I wanted to share, because I did share one other chapter a few months back, which talked about purpose, which was another favorite chapter of mine of the book. But of all chapters in the book, and there are many, like we hit this 30 plus chapters in the book, talking about all kinds of stuff. Techniques, strategies for overcoming anxiety, removing your depression, and then gaining unbelievable confidence in your life. There's all kinds of strategies, techniques in the book, but a few of them stick out, to me at least, a little more than others, and especially in this period in time that we're in right now, this crazy pandemic, this chaos, this not terror, like everything that's going on to make people stressed out, to make people go crazy. And of course, the actual pandemic itself, which, you know, I've never taken lightly to begin with, although I have said it's overrated, and I still stand by those words. It is still a thing. It is still a real thing. I still feel terrible for all the people who have been affected by it, all the people who have been harmed by it, all the people who have been killed by it. It's a real thing. It's very legit. That said, has it been overstated and hyped up, and has a lot of things economically been ruined that probably should never have been ruined? Yes, absolutely. That's a thing as well. And a lot of people hate on me for that, for saying those things, but that is the truth. I believe that. I've said that from the beginning. I believe they do need to open things back up soon, like very soon, as opposed to waiting, you know, forever or indefinitely, like they keep saying. I will talk about that in another episode. I'll say that for another day. But I do feel like the COVID episodes that I covered in the coronavirus and, you know, had Dr. Stephen Cabral on, I got a lot of good feedback from those episodes. But there was also some hate that came with those episodes as well, saying that I wasn't taking the virus seriously, saying that I was talking about a lot of things that weren't true. Everything I said in those episodes was 100% true, 100% accurate, is from what we knew at that point. And I even said it at that point, from what we know, these are the numbers, these are the statistics, this is what you can do to stay safe, to prep yourself, to give yourself the best chance of beating this, overcoming this, should you ever get it. All those things we talked about are 100% accurate. And even the position that I took back then, as far as it being comparable to the flu, although it looked like that was inaccurate weeks after that, as it turns out, in the grand scheme of things, you know, more antibody testing and more realistic and accurate reporting that's coming out on this says that it's actually a lot more widely spread. A lot more people have contracted this virus, which means that death rate is actually very similar to the flu. Perhaps it, like Stephen Cabral said, and which I concurred with, it might be 2-3 times potentially more deadly, but it actually might even be less deadly than the flu if you listen to some sources. So with that said, again, it's not to take this lightly. It's not to dismiss it. And again, I feel so bad for all the people that have been affected by it. But at the end of the day, it has been overblown, and to shut everything down and to ruin people financially and economically from one virus like this that's gone around, I think was a disaster, and I think it's only gotten things worse. I do understand why people did it. I do understand the fear around it. I do understand the panic that has surrounded it, but I feel like it's been overblown, and that is my stance. And I probably will cover that at some point later on and give you more details and facts and things like that. Keep in mind this, though. This is the one thing I'll share today. There was a study a couple of years back that said for every 1% of unemployment that goes up in the country, the suicide rate goes up by another 1% for each 1%. So if it's, say, unemployment's at like 1% and it jumps to like they're projecting 30%, you would have to 30x that. It's an exponential increase in the suicide rate. So just keep that in mind. With 800,000 people plus globally that already have suicide problems, that already died from suicide, you then exponentially increase that number potentially when you have unbelievable unemployment like they're projecting and all these job losses and all. And then also with that same figure, for every 1% increase in unemployment, you also have a 3% increase in overdose and drug overdose. And then also crime goes up. And there's a whole number, there's a whole nother side to this and statistics and the repercussions of doing what they've done economically that people don't really talk about, but that is a true side. And we talked about this a little bit in the Stephen Cabral episode. It's a real thing. You got to think of both sides. I understand the overreaction to things. I understand wanting to keep people safe. And, you know, you look at this, you look at the numbers, and we talked about this again in the Cabral episode where it was mostly the elderly that was affected. And I understand that. My whole stance from the beginning was, let's quarantine those people. Let's quarantine the people that are most at risk, and then let everybody else get back to work who will survive the thing, who will beat this thing off. That was my stance on it. I've gone on right now talking about it more than I wanted to talk about it, but that is where I stand on it. That's where I've always stood on it, and I will be covering this in a later episode. But that said, with the period that we're in, with the crisis that we're in, whether you're on the side that I'm on with getting things back going, or whether you're on the other side of keeping people safe as possible and isolating and quarantine and all this other stuff, no matter what side you fall on, by the way, you can disagree with me and it's totally cool. Like, just because you have a different position than I have, that doesn't mean I hate you or that I dislike you even, or that I still love every single one of you guys if you're a fan of the work that we do here at Elite Man. I may take a stance that you disagree with. That does not mean I'm a bad person. It does not mean you're a bad person because you have a different stance than me. You have a different belief. You have a different take on something. If you agreed with everything I stood for, everything I say, every position I take in life, it would just mean that you're a sheep. It would just mean that you're brainwashed into believing everything I say or everything I believe. It's good to have different ideas, different beliefs. That's where the truth is found. That's where reason can happen. That's where the best plans come and the best things come together, when people have different sides, but they can find agreement somewhere in the middle, and then, you know, a new idea is sprung from those beliefs. And it's good to, like I said, I've always said this too. I've always stayed clear of you know, say, politics or religion on the show. But at the same time, we've all have our beliefs in religion. We all have our beliefs in spirituality and politics and who we vote for, who you vote for. You can vote for whoever you want, and I'm still going to love you the same. And I expect the same respect back from you. I can vote for whoever I want, and I respect the same. And I expect to be respected back in return. And the same thing with this thing. This, you know, a lot of people fighting on this on social media, on Facebook, taking one side. People, I've seen a lot of fighting, hating each other. And I'll take a stance on this, and I'll say my opinion, and I'll still love you and anybody else who disagrees with me the same amount. Just have respect. Just appreciate where I'm coming from, and I'll do the exact same for you. With that said, I do want to say that, like I was trying to say a moment ago, that no matter where you stand on this, everybody is affected by this current condition that we're in, this current pandemic. And the one thing that you can avoid is that we're all facing incredible amounts of unknown, of stress right now, of things being crazy, of you probably having more anxiety in your life in the past 2 months than you've had in the past 2 or even 20 years for some people, because this is causing a lot of crazy shit to happen. Even the virus itself is scaring the hell out of people. Again, do I think that's justified? No, but it is a real virus and people are dying, so I understand it. I understand that this is probably making a lot of people fucking scared. I get it. And it's you know, in that sense, that is justified for people to be more nervous than usual. And then, of course, financially, economically, losing your job, different fighting. Like they're saying the divorce rate and the breakup rate during this coronavirus and the pandemic, depending on how long it extends for, is going to dramatically increase this divorce rate. People are fighting all the time, like domestic abuse, like all that shit. That's, you know, that's a real thing. And so it's a time right now to... No matter where you stand on the issue, whether you're on this side of the fence or that side of the fence, it is a time to self-reflect, to look inside, to be more present and to be more comfortable with yourself and to pull your happiness, no matter where things go in your country, if you live in my country in America, if you live somewhere else in the world, no matter where things go in your country or your state or your city, with your business, with whatever happens, like you got to be able to pull yourself back up. You got to be able to find happiness within yourself, and you got to be able to be okay with whatever's happening outside of you. No matter what happens with this thing, as long as you're alive, as long as you're breathing, you got to be okay with yourself, and you got to be okay with, and you got to be good at reducing the stress, reducing the anxiety, perhaps even eliminating it altogether. And being able to perform at your best, because that's going to be the key factor going forward, is, and even right now, is being able to endure it so you can go forward, being able to live in the now. It's one of the best ways to tap out of projecting into the future, which causes a lot of that stress, a lot of that anxiety, and then also dwelling about the past, about dwelling all the things you lost out on. Potentially, you know, you lost your business, or you lost a girlfriend, or you lost a job, or you lost anything from... perhaps this pandemic directly, or even maybe before that, or what's going to happen in the future. And then, you know, you lose something in the future, and then all of a sudden you're depressed about losing out on that thing. When we're not living in the future, when we're thinking about the future, when we're projecting in the future, or when we're dwelling on the past, we are not living in the present. We are not living in the now when those things happen. And the true happiness, our true contentment, our true just ability to be happy with life and what's happening in our lives and be content with everything and grateful, all those things really spring about when you're in the present moment. Being in the now, focusing on what's in front of you, what you can see with your own two eyes in real time, that is what the present moment is all about. And so in the chapter I talk about, and I'm going to share in a moment, it's all about it's actually, there's a little bit of comedy in the first bit of it that I think you might enjoy, but it's really all about the different strategies for tapping into the present moment. You know, you could rob a bank, you could commit a crime. There's people that jump out of airplanes and they're, you know, risk takers, and they, you know, have sex, unprotected sex, and they do cocaine, they do drugs. There's all kinds of crazy ways for you to be in that present moment. And that's why a lot of these addicts do that, because they have, when you're on a drug, when you get that dopamine rush, when you do something exciting, like, you know, commit a crime, whatever it is, you have that dopamine release, you have that feeling. It actually does put you into the present moment. And that's why, that's one of the big reasons why it's so addictive to people. That's why it releases so much dopamine, because it's really hard to tap into that moment and be present. It's really hard to do that nowadays, especially. But when you have something like that, that's addictive, that's adrenaline rushing, that is a thrill, that's exciting, like there's danger involved, especially with drugs or committing a crime, whatever it is, that is an easy way to tap into the present moment and be present. It's not a safe way, and it's not an effective strategy at all by any means, but it does work. Now, in the chapter, I talk about a ton of ways that are way better than committing crime or doing drugs or taking high-risk activities. There are a ton of ways that are better than that, and they're all safer, and they're pretty easy to do. You can do most of these things right at home, right wherever you're listening to this podcast episode on. You can probably do it right away, right now. And so these are the strategies that you want to take away. These are the things that you want to incorporate into your life more and more, especially in a time like this where it's chaotic, where there's a lot of unknown, where there's a lot of added stress to your life and a lot of things going on that you can't control. If you can control your mindset and where you are without projecting into the future, without dwelling on the past, but you can control right now and step into that incredible, powerful moment of being present in the moment right now. If you can tap into that more and more, you're going to see a lot of these problems go away that you're having right now. You're going to see a lot of the stress just disappear, and you're going to actually start to be able to focus and think about the solutions that you need, the actions that you need to take to get to the places you need to be, especially in a chaotic time right now. And then, of course, going forward, when this thing does pass, eventually it's going to pass no matter where you are. It will go. We've had viruses in the past. We've had way worse ones. The Spanish flu. I mean, we've had so many ones that were really bad in the past that they all come to pass at some point. Everything goes. This isn't a permanent thing. It's transient. It's only probably going to be a few more months for most people. Some people might be longer than that. But, you know, realistically, we're not looking at forever here. We're looking at 12 months maximum at the worst case, but more likely probably 2 to 3 months before things get, you know, relatively normal again for most people. So with that in mind, I did want to cover that first part about the pandemic and just kind of talk about where I'm at with that and my thoughts on that. I will, if you guys are interested, and if I get some feedback on this episode, I might even get some more hate for talking about that. But again, you know, I respect your opinion. I just want you to respect mine. That's it. You don't have to agree with everything I say, but just hear me out and take what I say and use that to whatever you want to use it. If you want to agree with it, that's cool. If you don't, that's totally cool too. I respect it no matter what. But I did want to get that out of the way, and I might cover a future episode where I talk more about some of this stuff and get more into the statistics and the unemployment, the economy, that type of thing, the other side, the suicide, the mental health problem, all the other side that I didn't actually cover really in that episode, but I did mention with Cabral and what I've been thinking, you know, since this whole thing started, to be honest with you. I might get into that if you guys want it. If you want me to not cover that, you reach out and I'll take that into consideration as well. But it is something I'm thinking about covering because I think it is important. That said, I did want to mention this as well, though, because I think this present moment, this living in the moment, is so imperative at this moment in time for you guys. Being able to have that skill to tap into the present moment is incredible. So listen to the preview. Listen to this chapter. It's got so many strategies. And then the rest of the book, if you haven't ordered Elite Mind, by the way, you're crazy. EliteMindBook.com. Make sure you order it today. If you are waiting for the audiobook, there's good news because it is coming out, excuse me, in just 3 or 4 weeks. It should be ready on Amazon. EliteMindBook.com will take you right to that link as well. But I did want to share this chapter with you today and let me know your thoughts on how it came out, what you think about it, if you're excited for the audiobook to come out in a short time, and if you'll be getting it. You can always shoot me an email. Shoot me a DM too on Instagram at Justin Stenstrom, Facebook as well at Justin Stenstrom, and then of course follow me on YouTube and subscribe to the channel at elitemanmagazine.com/YouTube. That'll take you right to the link. We're starting to build up more and more followers on YouTube, get out a ton of content on that video wise, all kinds of stuff. We just did a vitamin C video last week. It was incredible. A lot of good information there, too, that they're not telling you about. A lot of these health experts that you see on TV, they're not talking about vitamin C. Vitamin C is incredibly powerful and so dirt cheap and so safe across the board for a lot of things. And does not cure COVID. I'm not saying that, never would say it, but it can certainly 100% help your immune system and help you get to the point where you can fight off things like COVID and other viruses. That's been well documented. There's a ton of research I did in that video, and I think you guys will enjoy that as well. But that's it for me today. Listen to this chapter and let me know your thoughts. Shoot me the DM, shoot me the email. You have my email address already. Let me know your thoughts and if you are going to get the book in 3 to 4 weeks. But here it is, guys. Chapter 11, Living in the Moment. Ever have your whole day just completely suck balls from the minute you wake up? Like for whatever reason, you rolled over and woke up in Shitville. You stub your toe on your bureau. You accidentally drop the improperly shut nearly full milk gallon all over the floor. You realize only after the freezing water starts pouring down on you in the shower that you fucking forgot to pay the oil bill this month. And to top it off, when you step outside and try to shake off the awful start to your morning, you make it but a mere 3 or 4 steps before you realize you've just planted your size 12 Oxfords in a steaming pile of freshly made dog shit, courtesy of Charlie, your neighbor's obnoxious pit bull. As if your day couldn't get any shittier, it literally did. Yes, quite the ironic twist indeed. Pissed, you head back inside to clean up the messy infraction. After about 10 minutes of wiping Charlie's half-digested meat scraps from the night before, you look up and realize you're running late. You give it one last wipe, rinse your hands, and head out again. Rushing now, you could use a break, but you don't get one. About 15 minutes later on the highway, you peer up ahead only to realize there's really heavy traffic, like gridlock traffic, about a mile up. You scream, "What the fuck?" in utter frustration as you know this is going to cost you at least another 20 minutes that you already couldn't afford. "What's the boss gonna say this time?" you ask yourself. "There goes that raise I've been working up to for the last 6 months." All of your problems begin to manifest and swirl around in your mind, and you begin getting an unbelievable amount of stress and even anxiety. The anxiousness and worry seep through and dance around your body like a pissed off bull in a china shop, touching, tagging, and knocking over just about everything it comes across. "If I don't get this raise, there's no way we can go on vacation. What are the kids gonna think? What's the wife gonna say? This is definitely gonna cause another fight," you say to yourself with aggravation. But just as you're pondering these troubles and gearing up for the anxiety to officially stake claim over your mind, you instinctively jam on your brakes and jerk your car to the left and off the road. In this haste of excitement, you narrowly maneuver your car away from the SUV in front of you, who unfortunately didn't have the same destiny and went barreling into the vehicle in front of him. The same fortune befalls the truck behind you. A split second later, it comes crashing into the SUV you just avoided. Boom. His airbags go off, as do the guys in the SUV, who you now realize has further jammed his front fender into the rear bumper of the vehicle in front of him. And this same domino effect seems to extend about 5 or 6 cars up. In fact, you seem to be the only one in the immediate vicinity who didn't just get creamed. Like Vincent Vega or Jules Winfield from Pulp Fiction, through some one in a million stroke of luck or divine intervention, you stand alone, unscathed. "Holy shit," you say as you run over to check on the SUV guy who appears to be badly hurt. You help him out of his vehicle as cars behind you start to slow down and file in, and the truck guy slowly gets out as well, blood casing his forehead. Immediately, all the problems you had a few minutes back disappear. Your focus is completely directed on the well-being of this man in the SUV and the others around you. You call 911 after helping him off to the side. Then you ask the truck driver if he's okay and lend your shoulder for him to lean on as you assist him onto the nearby guardrail to sit down and relax. A family of four gets out of their van a few cars up, and so does the old lady next to them, everyone checking and offering a hand of help where needed. You bring out the emergency kit in your trunk and pass out some bandages, a couple ice packs, and a few bottles of water to those in need. You're intuitively attending to these injured and innocent people and talking with some of them to show your support. Again, the troubled thoughts from before, all but a distant memory. Within minutes, paramedics and police arrive. What's happened within the blink of an eye is you've changed your emotional disposition. You've gone from worrying about all your mess-ups and issues that day to serving others and living in the present moment. Your thoughts about fighting with your wife, losing out on that promotion, spilling milk all over the floor, and stepping in Charlie's dog shit are all gone. Not because you decided that they were unproductive thoughts, but because you were forced by unbelievable circumstance to direct your attention on the present moment. And here's a little secret I learned many years back. Anxiety cannot live in the present moment. Anxiety doesn't exist in the now. It's true. Think about it for a minute. Have you ever had anxiety whilst doing something and being fully present? The answer is no. You may think, "That can't be true. I got anxious when I was playing baseball when I was a kid and I loved playing ball." Or maybe, "I get anxious when I have to give a speech at my work meetings." Or perhaps you're thinking, "Justin, this can't be true. I'm fully present all the time, and even when I'm just sitting around the house doing nothing, anxiety will creep up on me." Explain that, please. I will. The answer is you're not fully present. In fact, in all these examples, nobody is fully present. You may think you are, but you're really not. If you were, you'd be 100% focused on whatever it is you were doing, thinking about absolutely nothing at all except what's in front of you. And this is quite hard for many people to do. It's very easy to think you're being fully present and mistake this for true presence. For instance, if you were thinking about giving that speech and you started getting nervous, but you kept telling yourself to calm down and that everything was going to be fine, you've already abandoned the present moment. You're playing into the anxiety of messing up, whether you mean to or not. A better approach would be accepting, at first, that you're having the anxiety and then carrying on with what you were doing. You don't need to self-talk yourself, at least with regard to remaining present, or try to pump yourself up. If you want to be present, just be. Focus only on what's in front of you, and when it comes time to delivering the speech, focus only on performing it to the best of your ability. Immerse yourself in that speech, centering your mind on your words, your energy, your passion, your attunement with your audience, and your enjoyment of being there in that moment. Go right down the line with these things naturally, and don't think about anything else but delivering that speech. Of course, what would happen is you'd be fully present and you'd fucking crush it. Look, I'll concede that emotional reactions to physiological chemicals like adrenaline and cortisol are important and certainly serve an incredible role in our survival and safety. For instance, consider the surge of adrenaline you might face if a grizzly bear crosses your path in the woods. Your ass better have this powerful chemical to propel you to either run or fight, or you're fucking toast. You're probably toast either way if you're up against a bear, but you get the point. However, don't mistake these biomarkers for what we've come to call anxiety. Anxiety, in the generally accepted use of the term, is a negative emotional reaction to a thought process that stems from the mind projecting something negative or harmful happening in the future. Naturally, these negative emotional reactions include fear, uneasiness, worry, obsessive thinking, terror, panic, and more. Natural jolts of adrenaline and cortisol to save our lives from wild animals or other pertinent threats is not the same. These are real threats. Anxiety is not. When it comes to examples like the bear crossing paths with you in the woods, or you nearly avoiding a car accident and instinctively tapping into your helping others to safety mode, you're not thinking about anything else other than what's happening right then and there. Of course you have adrenaline coursing through you. Of course you have the cortisol hormone pumping through your blood. But this isn't anxiety. This is your natural survival mechanism kicking in and keeping you alive. Anxiety is an altogether different experience. Just to refresh your memory, anxiety was what you were feeling just before the highway pileup, when you were worrying about all your problems and projecting imminent trouble in your converging future. What happens when a life or death situation pops up, or something profound and unexpected, or something that really grabs hold of your attention for whatever reason, is that you're drawn into the now. And when you are cast into this moment, your incessant concoctions about future troubles disappear. Depression. Depression is also an emotion that cannot live in the present moment, but it's sort of the opposite of anxiety, in that anxiety is a projection of a negative experience occurring in the future, whereas depression is a negative spawn of your thoughts surrounding past events. Essentially, it's the culmination of feelings of regret, thoughts that you missed out on something, or events that you wish had transpired differently. But these two mental states are indeed still quite similar. Depression, like anxiety, is too caused by a thought process that takes residence away from the present moment and rubs its insidious tentacles on your current livelihood. Consequently, the practice of living in the present moment can also be incredibly helpful for overcoming your depression and should be one of the first lines of defense in your winning battle over it. All we have is the here and now, and when you can live in this moment, both your anxiety and depression evaporate. It's the same reason why some people get off on being adrenaline junkies and jumping out of airplanes, or doing wheelies on street bikes on the highway, or even robbing banks and committing crimes for that matter. The rush of adrenaline, the potential for death, and the attention that you're forced to have in those moments are all powerful. For some, it's the only way they know how to get rid of their anxiety. For others, they're just adrenaline-seeking nutcases and typically very interesting people who enjoy spending as much time being present and feeling the thrills of life. Living in the present moment is a powerful thing. When we allow ourselves to embrace it, life completely changes. The power of now. An entire book could be written on this subject. And as it turns out, an entire book has been written on this subject. A very profound and incredibly wise book that introduced me to the whole concept of living in the moment. It's called The Power of Now by a guy named Eckhart Tolle. You may have heard of it. Eckhart was all over Oprah in the news many years back, and he's still quite popular today. I'm a big fan of his. The book is a great resource and a perfect place to start when it comes to realizing our existence is really just a series of present moments. Nothing we accomplished in the past really means anything, and nothing we accomplish in the future can affect us now. All we have is the time we have right now. You reading this book at this second in time is the present moment. And now this second in time. And now. And now. And, well, you get the point. It's truly fascinating and liberating, I think. It takes the pressure off worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow while also taking focus off what we missed out on yesterday. Look, it's good to reflect on our accomplishments from time to time, and it's okay to be proud. It's also good to be motivated about our future and excited for what it holds, don't get me wrong. The problem occurs when people begin spending too much time in these places. There's a balance here, like anything. Too much past dwelling and you have depression in your current life. Too much future projection and you get anxious right now. By seamlessly balancing the past, the present, and the future, however, you become one happy and enlightened motherfucker. And it's pretty cool being an enlightened motherfucker, trust me. By the way, I love Eckhart's writing and thinking, but he's pretty dull, if not downright boring to listen to. Look him up if you think I'm kidding. The man's got a voice that would throw the worst insomniac into a Rip Van Winkle-like coma. As much as I praise him for introducing me to this mind-illuminating concept, sometimes I consider whether he's spending too much time in the now and forgetting to enjoy all sides of the conscious amalgamation. But that's not the worst problem you could have, I guess. How to live in the present moment. So how do you live in the present moment? Well, there are many ways of gaining more presence and releasing yourself from your anxiety or depression. But to be clear, presence isn't just something you automatically obtain once you decide you want to have it. It takes some practice being able to step into the present moment at will. Unless you want to rob a bank, of course. But assuming you're not in the business of committing felonies, here are a few ways that can help you become more present and live in the now. Meditation. Meditation, as we mentioned before, is a great way to train yourself to focus on what's happening now. Through continually conditioning your mind to focus on one thing alone, like say your breath and mindfulness meditation, you practice the art of living in the present moment. Meditation might be the most effective of all strategies for stepping back in the moment. Doing exciting things. Okay, you can certainly rob a bank to become entrenched within the now if that's your thing, but I really don't recommend this. Not because I'm some holier-than-thou saint with supreme moral conviction, but because you're almost positively guaranteed to get caught. And when you do, you're just as prone to end up being Butch Bubba's bitch in prison. Forget living in the now, you'll be living in Bubba's sick, perverted world for years to come. Instead, I suggest doing new and novel things to keep your dopamine healthily active. Drugs, alcohol, jumping out of planes, committing crimes, all of these work, but they're highly dangerous. A few better options would be taking a dance class, hopping on stage for a karaoke song, signing up for a fun improv class, training in a new martial art, traveling to an interesting new city, hiking through a beautiful mountain range, or learning a new skill, like say an instrument or language. Anything that gets your blood boiling in a good way will have the same effect as doing dangerous things, but in a much safer and supervised environment. As human beings, we crave novelty, mainly because it brings us into the present moment. Spending time with interesting people. On the same token as doing exciting things, being around exciting people will force us to live in the moment. When we are engaged, interested, or intrigued by someone, our attention is drawn to what is going on right now. We stop thinking about our work issues, our favorite TV show that's airing later that night, or who liked our last Facebook post. Interesting people captivate our attention like supercharged magnets, forcing us to take up residence in the moment with them. If you have friends who keep your attention, spend more time with them. If you don't, go out and start meeting new people. Furthermore, whether you're a man or a woman, the excitement we derive when we encounter a very attractive person, whether physically, socially, or emotionally, is something special. We're intuitively ingrained with this need to connect with others, especially those we're attracted to on some level, and it has a profound effect at inducing presence. Connect more with those you're attracted to. Spending time with loved ones. Our family, especially our children, are great facilitators of presence. When we focus our attention on being with them and enjoying our time with them, it's easy to forget about other problems rattling around in our minds. The future anxieties we hold and the regrets of the past get lost when we share laughter, stories, jokes, and love with the people we care deeply about. Sure, families can sometimes get boring, and yes, we occasionally feel like we've had too much time with people we love and need a break from them, but all in all, spending meaningful time with loved ones is one of the best prescriptions for stepping into the power of now. Sex. Sex is the ultimate form of physical connection, and in my estimation, the ultimate form of emotional connection. When you have sex with someone you're really into, like a wife, husband, girlfriend, boyfriend, or just somebody really fucking sexy, you're absolutely living in the present. It's a healthy act I partake in often, one I highly recommend you start doing more of. Who doesn't love sex? Not only does it bring you into the now, it's also a hell of a good workout, and the physiological benefits of it are amazing. Doing something you're passionate about. Doing work that you are passionate or excited about is a very effective way to live in the moment. Think about it. How often do you daydream, contemplate what you want for dinner later, think about a beautiful woman you want to sleep with, think about a Snapchat video to post, or otherwise dabble in the nonsensical thoughts of procrastination when you're at work, assuming you don't always love your 9-to-5 job? Juxtapose this illustration into a moment where you're loving what you do. For me, it's writing about something I'm passionate about, like this book, or coaching a client into overcoming a major struggle, or giving a speech to an audience full of cheering people. In these instances, I'm fully present. How often do you wander off when you're engaged and excited about your work? Occasionally, your mind might drift, but for the most part, when you're really passionate about what you're doing, you're focused and living in the present moment. Doing something that gets you jazzed up and stimulated is an incredibly effective way of maintaining your presence. It doesn't just have to be work, of course. Having avocations, hobbies, and activities you do for fun can invoke just the same effect. But the key is that you need to have these things. If you don't have passions, fix this immediately. Start trying, testing, and engrossing yourself in everything that seems somewhat interesting or piques even the smallest amount of curiosity in you. From here, decide what you like, what you love, and what you want to dive into even further. These things will now become your passions. Accepting the present moment. A final, straightforward tip for stepping into the now is accepting it. What the fuck does that mean, you ask? Let me explain. Accepting the present moment is as simple as letting go of your desire to want to control things. I know, we're all guilty of this, including me from time to time. We're all so eager to want to take charge, manipulate things in our favor, and do our best to twine things into benefiting our lives. It's quite natural to want to do this, and it has been carried on since our childhoods as a survival mechanism. But as much as we yearn to favorably plan things out, focusing on this perpetual scheming can cause us stress. And it often does. When we focus on the contemplative aspects of manipulation and command, we cause anxiety surrounding our success. Again, it's okay to bounce around in this place, but taking up continuous settlement is highly problematic. But that's what so many people do. They reside in this place of constant longing for control and dwell far too long in their future projections, inevitably and paradoxically leading to less control and more anxiety. Step back. Realize you can't control most things in life. You can only truly control you. Accept that life is neither good nor bad. Life just is. It doesn't discriminate when it dishes out shitstorms, and it doesn't single out those bound to succeed. It just is. And whether good or bad, you just are. One of the most empowering yet often overlooked tips for getting into the present moment and finding happiness is taking responsibility over your life and accepting that good and bad things are going to happen. Some days you'll feel on top of the world. Some days you'll step in a pile of dog shit. But no matter what, you have the power to get past whatever comes your way. And you will. Surrendering to the now and accepting all that life has to offer is the best way to initiate your ability to live in the moment. Accept the now and enjoy life in all its wonder, both good and bad. Last note on the present moment. The present moment is all we truly have. It's incredible how powerful this concept is and how powerful our reality becomes when we can live more and more in the present. Anxiety disappears, depression vanishes, contentment and happiness abounds. Being able to step into the now is a skill. Like any skill, the more you work at it, the more effective you'll become at being able to use it. So practice now using the strategies above and begin reaping the benefits of this extraordinarily beneficial practice. And remember, the next time Charlie shits on your lawn, smile, knowing it's all part of the ebb and flow of life. Either that or build a fence to keep that little fucker out. All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I'd like you to do, and that's this. Subscribe to our podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing to the podcast, you get every single episode the minute they're released. Get all of our Elite Man podcast episodes and all of our world-class advice absolutely free. Subscribe now if you haven't already and become an Elite Man today. And yes, if you do love the podcast, leave us an amazing review. We really do appreciate it.